Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show here on a Tuesday evening following the Jaguars' first win of the season. And it was a big one, folks, when you consider just a week ago now, this team was 0-2. They were stinging from a very poor performance, call it embarrassing, against the Arizona Cardinals. They had forgotten about a strong showing despite the loss in Indianapolis. People were talking about empty seats in the stadium. Everything just fell wrong. Well, winning is said to cure everything in the National Football League. All of a sudden now, they're 1-2. They've got Tennessee coming to town. They're 0-3. You get a win, even your record at 2-2, which is what they did last year. You've got Seattle, who's 1-2 currently, and the St. Louis Rams, who are 0-3, right behind them. You want a dream, start thinking about if you get this one in the bag on Sunday, about no worse than perhaps going 3-3 at the bye week. You start putting those projections together, and that's how different it feels on a Monday after a win. And the coach is about to join us here, and of course we'll open the lines up for you to talk to Jack Del Rio. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And folks, this portion of the Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand-new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center through the Jaguars and Titans Square off Sunday. And, of course, you can follow all the action here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And for those of you in Jacksonville, that means 106.5 FM and AM 690. Kick things off with our Jaguars tailgate show at 10 a.m. Pick up those of you on the network with Jaguars pregame at noon. Whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and the Titans, followed by the Winn-Dixie postgame show and the scoreboard show. So everything you want, one timely package Sunday afternoon with the Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans. Again, invite your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Talk about Maurice Drew. You look at the numbers on Drew and the things that he has been able to do in his career. And a big performance, like 119 yards in Houston, generally sends Ryan Robinson and the Jaguars PR department really running for some of these numbers. Here's the thing that stands out the most. You realize that LaDainian Tomlinson, and he scored a lot of touchdowns a few years ago, since 2006, when Maurice entered the league, has scored 62 touchdowns. Maurice has scored 41. But here's the difference. LaDainian Tomlinson scored 62 touchdowns on 1,137 touches. Yet Maurice Drew, because he split time for most of his career with Fred, 41 touchdowns on 748 touches. Not trying to compare the two runners, just trying to give you a glimpse of their performance, what they've done over the course of their career. And I think it speaks very favorably to what Maurice Drew is doing here. Yeah, just right behind him, Terrell Owens, 39 touchdowns. Marion Barber, 39 touchdowns. Brian Westbrook, 38 touchdowns. And Westbrook's 38 touchdowns come on 1,004 touches. So Drew's performance on Sunday was strong. Shows where he fits if you look at him relative, not compared to, but relative to the rest of the National Football League. And just for 2009, Willis McGahee leads the NFL with 6 total touchdowns. But Maurice, Frank Gore, and Adrian Peterson, strong names, right? Each have 4 to tie for second place. And that's just a quick look at what Sunday was for Maurice Drew. When you get there, you also have to talk about what the offensive line was able to do. You realize now, and Loggy and I were talking about this on the plane ride home, we didn't call Mario Williams' name, but maybe once, maybe twice, and it was both in run. The offensive tackles did a strong job in keeping him off of the quarterback's back, and we know what kind of a player he is. We'll talk with head coach Jack Del Rio about that. Mike Sims-Walker had 6 catches. Obviously, you know about the strong performance by Daryl Smith, forcing the fumble, recovering the fumble in the end zone. Lots to talk about. Let's take our first break. When we come back, the head coach will join us here on the Jack Del Rio Show. You're listening on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
to talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton along with the head coach. Talk a little bit about that win in Houston Sunday. More importantly, look forward to a big game against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday afternoon. And as you were walking in, I was just expressing the thoughts of a lot of people that I've talked with in the last 2 days. And that winning can, one win, can turn a lot of people's mindset around. All of a sudden, the glass is half full instead of half empty. And it's amazing to see how many people are half full people this week.
That's great.
I think it is.
I mean, it's preferable over the other. I tell you that our job stays the same.
No matter what.
And I think that part of the reason we were able to go down and get a win was because of the approach. I think our guys, you know, worked at it and didn't lose faith and didn't lose hope and continued to believe and continued to stay together and continued to work hard and all those things. And as a result, we had a good week and went down there and played well. And we need to have a better week this week.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. And I understand, you know, it's not easy for everybody to do. And listen, if you don't dig in, like, it's hard for my wife because she doesn't go to work.
Right.
See, we come in, we go to work at it. So we're busy planning for the next one and game planning and getting ready. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, pretty quick, you know, you forget about the last one.
Linda's hyper-competitive, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She likes
and
to win.
And as a lot of people are, they're out there that don't have the ability to plug in to the work that would occupy your mind.
Right.
So you can get beyond what was and start working on what will be the following week. That's the hard part. As coaches, that we get a little bit of a break. As players and coaches, you know, we get a little bit of a break from that because we immerse ourselves in the work.
You have to be single-minded of purpose as you go forward.
That's why I have the 24-hour rule.
Right.
Good or bad, you have to move forward.
Well, you have talked, and we talked all through training camp about this. I said improvement is the theme week to week, and you corrected me and said practice to practice, day to day. You know, right. So the only thing that we're left to surmise after last week is you improved every day on the practice field.
Yes.
From the Cardinals loss, come back, put it behind you, put a game plan together, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, your team improved.
Yeah, and we have a lot of improvement in front of us right. that we need to get to, but we're working at it.
355-NFL1. Phone lines are stacked, so let's go right to them, and let's grab Greg, who joins us from the west side with the first call tonight. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Coach. Hey, boys, how you doing tonight?
Excellent, thank you.
Good evening, Greg.
Hey, Coach, I want to thank you for bringing home a win, because that is just such an awesome feeling, and it's just great to see a win. I do have a quick question for you.
Okay.
The one thing I did notice that this week Vic put thing on his website about the fact that a lot of the other teams have PSL and all the expense that goes into having tickets for other teams, and it's just like a huge blessing of how cheap we have it here in Jacksonville. Do you have the ideas of what we could do to possibly bolster the perception of value of what we actually have in this franchise? I'll take my question off the air.
Well, thanks for the call, Greg. Appreciate the support. Let me just say before we get into the question he asked that it was really neat to see the smattering of fans that we had there in Houston and how excited they were. Absolutely. And how much they stood out. I mean, it was great. I know there was a shot in the paper where, you know, it showed one of the fans and the fans around weren't real happy with that particular gal, but it was great.
Teal stands out in a sea of red.
Yeah, it stood out. They were there before the game cheering, and it was great to see them be able to celebrate the victory with us as we came off the field. But going back to the question, that's not my department. I mean, I think anybody that takes a look at it will understand the value. I mean, right. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like – you just don't get the NFL experience for the cost that you can get it for here.
That's the
anywhere
key.
Else.
That's the key. You have the second lowest price ticket in the National Football League, and for the second lowest ticket price, you're playing on the big dance floor with the Dallases and the Chicagos and the New Yorks of the world. Folks, there's only 32 cities that have this. You got to just see it for what it is.
Well, and
you're
the other
one
thing,
of the elite cities.
And the other thing is, I think if you look – I'll just throw this out there.
Yeah.
This football team – I just do the research. This football team – in its 15-year existence, how does it stack up one-loss record in the league. I guarantee ninth? It's in the top half.
It's the top 10. It's ninth.
So what I'm saying is...
Yeah. You've enjoyed a winning product.
There are... if you have 32 teams, okay, that means that... What'd you say it was, ninth?
Ninth. There are 23 teams.
23 other teams have not won as much as we have since we've been in existence here in Jacksonville.
And 30 teams pay a higher price to watch teams that don't win.
So if that hasn't value...
There you go.
There you are.
Great.
Moving on.
Great job, Greg. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab Kevin up the road in Savannah. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Congratulations, Coach. Watching your team Sunday, it's obvious the group of guys put together are going to continue to build, and I don't think we're going to have the mini meltdown that we had towards the end of the year last year, and just congratulations. I'd like to take the opportunity to call you when I see some things that might hurt the Jaguars because I want you to win so badly. I'm noticing when your receivers, tight end, go in motion, they're all having a tendency to skip towards the line of scrimmage, and I'm just afraid that the wrong line judge is going to bust us on a big play and call us for a legal motion. If they could just be reminded, they got to watch that.
Yeah, that's a good point. You got a good eye, Kevin. Appreciate the call. That is something they're reminded of, and you're absolutely right. If you don't continue to stay flat, if you do creep toward the line, they will call it. In fact, Greg Estandia was called for one of those on a nice run that Maurice had 2 weeks ago. That's right. So, no, absolutely on point with that. That's part of what we do is in working on the execution of our different motions and formations and the things that we want to do to set up the offense we're going to run. That's part of it. You got to be able to execute and do it crisply and do it properly. And so I have to tell you, we're on that, but I appreciate the heads up.
Since he brought up young receivers, what did it mean? I mean, what were your thoughts on the way that Mike Thomas contributed? Obviously, he had two end-arounds for 35 yards, one of which was for a big first down. Another, he got the help with the penalty at the other side of it with the hit on the sidelines. So he contributed there, but he also set up things. You know, the run to Maurice Drew was set up off of that. It was pretty strong.
Well, I think the run, the reverse, the fake reverse, those things were great. I think, to me, what I was happiest about is he did handle punt returns. He did a nice job fielding the ball, being smart, making good decisions. We didn't get him some room that we will going forward be able to get him more room, but he did a nice job holding down that phase. The other thing that he did well, there was a key third down reception that he was a part of where we're moving the chains, imperative that we're able to move the chains. He went down, made a nice route on time. David put the ball there, caught it, well-executed play. And so some good things there, a nice start for him. I know that, you know, he's looking forward to bigger and better things. And, again, I go back to working at it, improving, and he got some opportunities. And he made the most of them. So guess what? As coaches, we will plan more opportunities.
355-NFL-1. One more phone call, and then we'll take a break. Ken is over across the river in Arlington. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me, Coach. Congratulations.
Thank you, Ken.
Sure. My question was really about Torrey Holt. I got to say, I mean, for a man to play with the type of injury that he had, I just didn't seem to see the kind of praise that I would have expected for someone who did play as well as he did. And I just wanted to get your comments on that.
What are you referring to? What injury?
Oh, I'm sorry. I might have the wrong player. The dislocated finger.
Oh, you're talking about he brought the finger with him from St. Louis.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's been playing with that for a couple of years.
Yeah, if you're ever up close and in range, just ask him to show you that finger. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He's a good, solid person who's come here. He's had a wonderful career. He's going to be a Hall of Fame player.
Yes.
And he has brought a tremendous amount of work ethic and dedication to the job. And I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised. I mean, he's exceeding my expectations. All right. I know when we took him, I know all things that, but I just it was hard for me to envision him being this good at the start of our year. I mean he's been terrific. He's been really positive in the locker room. He's a leader. I mean, the first thing he said to some of the young guys who were maybe a little bit just beginning to be silly after the game is, "Hey guys, let's act like we've done this before and we're going to do it again, huh?"
We had that clip on TV last night. It was
great. I mean, it was great. It's perfect. I mean, it's exactly what you want. The guy's a consummate pro. You're talking about a guy in training camp. you know, the team had to be here by 7:30, 8 o'clock. He was here every day by 6 o'clock. I mean, this guy is wired the right way, and really happy to see him, you know, helping us, doing a nice job, making some big catches, and leading the right way.
Ken, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Folks, we're due for a break. We will take one now and return with more of your thoughts for head coach Jack Del Rio for this quick pause on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than the folks at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Brian Sexton back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Jack Del Rio. Jaguars 1-2, getting ready to take on the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. That's what you and your staff have been working on all day long. First question, how different is their defense without Albert Haynesworth? Because you last year and Jeff Loggeman talked about how dominant Haynesworth was, you know, where he ranked in your eras in the National Football League. Is their defense drastically different without him?
No.
That's amazing.
I mean, they're very strong against the run. And really, other than a few, you know, big plays that have been given up, you know, where they've just broken down, they've been very difficult to move the ball against. So they're playing good defense. They're 0-3. They easily could be 3-0.
How is it that their defense, who is it, I guess I should say, can still be so good? I think they're only giving up 61 yards on the ground per game.
Right.
How is it that they can still be so good without a guy that was so important? I mean, it's not like you just replace Albert Haynesworth with another guy.
No, right. But they've got some good young defensive linemen that are stepping up playing well. Tony Brown's been a good player for him since he's been there. And so, you know, what happens when you have one guy that leaves, you end up playing waves of guys. And, I mean, they always played in waves anyway. I mean, even when he was there, you know, he didn't play the entire game. So, I mean, these guys have been getting groomed. Their defensive line coach is one of the better coaches in the league at that position. Does a heck of a job teaching and tutoring the younger players. And they've got a good group.
That's Jim Washburn, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Chuck Cecil's the new defensive coordinator. Anything different about their defense, or is it like you? It's always going to have your stamp on it. It's always going to have Jeff Fisher's stamp on it.
Yeah, I think Jeff has a stamp on the defense. I think, but certainly they've been a good defense for a long time.
Sure have. 355-NFL-1. Let's do this. Let's go to London, England. Yep, you heard it right, folks. Alex is across the pond in London. First call from Europe on the Jack Del Rio Show. Hello. How are you tonight, Alex?
I'm great, thanks, Brian. And Jack, it's really great to speak to you, Coach. I just want to firstly let you know how I think you're doing such a great job with the whole team. And I think patience is really important right now with everything that's going on. I really do think you've got the guys working super hard for everything that you're doing. But my question was about the 3-4 defense and whether we are kind of edging a bit nearer to 3-4 defense. And I was wondering if I could take this question on the air because I can't hear otherwise.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, first of all, Alex, let me just say how much I appreciate I think this is, at least while I've been on the show, the first international call, the first call certainly from London,
it's
England.
The
so
first one.
Thank you very much for calling in. Yes, we have inched forward with the 3-4 defense. I really believe that, you know, when you lose a player like Reggie Hayward, who we lost in the opener, that kind of helps you move along in that direction. I think Reggie was between Reggie and Derek Harvey, they were our two really our every down defensive ends that we had. And so now we have a few undersized DPR kind of guys that are better suited as 3-4 outside linebackers. They're going to win those matchups a little bit better, more consistently than they will if they're on the tackle the whole day. So from a size standpoint. So we're doing what we can to deploy our defense. We'll still mix in some 4-3 and 3-4 and do what we think is best for each opponent. And thus far, you know, we've been pretty good against the run. We haven't been near good enough against the pass. And part of that should improve with 3-4 and some of the different people we can bring from different angles. So we're working hard at it. You know, ultimately, regardless of which style you play, 3-4, 4-3, it's still going to, on some level, it's going to come down to defeating the block, pressuring the quarterback, tackling, getting the ball turned over. And we have done a pretty good job with turnovers. We need to do a better job getting after the quarterback and playing pass defense.
Is what you're doing, playing a hybrid where you play some 4-3 and 3-4, is that really becoming the norm in the NFL? Coach Loggeman watched the Titans-Jets game the other day.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it was the Oilers-Titans because it was the old AFL throwback game.
Sure.
And just in case you didn't know, the New York Jets were once the New York Titans. But he said that's what Rex Ryan, who I know is a friend of yours, is doing, and he did that in Baltimore. And there's a lot of teams that sort of play. Is that? I mean, you see trends go in the NFL. Is that it now?
Well, it's we all play principles. I mean, you know, I was with Rex in 2000, 99, 2000, 2001, and we played principles then. Some were 3-4, some were 4-3. You know, that defense in Baltimore was built. I mean, we basically took Marvin's 3-4 system that he brought from Pittsburgh and applied it there, and that's what we did. So there are principles that apply. It's defense, and we just, you know, people like, I think, the nickname. Defense to have a moniker. You got Blitzburg. You got, you know, different things like that. And I think people like the moniker. They like the nickname. The bottom line is we're looking to get people slowed down, get the ball back for our offense.
Appreciate the phone call, Alex. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Let's grab one more call here, and we'll go stay out of town. John is way up the road, up I-95 in Brooklyn, New York. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Congratulations, Coach, on your win Sunday.
Thank you, John.
I want to know how you feel on our performance on freshman the quarterback and how we can continue to improve in that area.
Well, I feel like there was some, but not enough. I think on the interception that Rasheen got early in the game, you saw a big number 98, John Henderson, planting the quarterback. It led directly to the throw that was put up in a situation where Rasheen could get it. So I think that's a good sign. I think later in the game you saw Montavious Stanley break through the line and sack the quarterback. I think you saw Clint Ingram
very next play.
On a third down stop make a nice play for a sack, get the guy tripped up for a sack, and there was great coverage involved in that one, so the quarterback didn't have anywhere to go with it. And to me, as we continue to work as a defense, and every now and then you're going to get a coverage sack where the D-line gets the credit, but the DBs did the work. Every now and then you're going to get a D-lineman or a linebacker that whips somebody and makes a play and knocks the quarterback down before he can get to a wide-open receiver. And when you're doing those things more consistently, then you're playing great defense. And we're just not doing it consistently enough right now to play great defense. We played great in spurts. We have not done it consistently enough to be real happy about where we are. But we are happy about the work we're putting in, and we are getting better.
John, we appreciate your phone call. And you too, Alex, over in London. We're back after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 355-NFL1. 355-6351. You know, Tuesday's normally a personnel day in the NFL for stories at least. There's, you know, you hear about an injured player here or there, who goes to IR, who gets signed. We already talked about the guys that you brought in. It's really quiet. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on. I mean, a quarterback was traded. They sent the Chiefs sent, who's the quarterback?
Thigpen.
Thigpen to Miami because
Pennington?
There you go. Names are not rolling off my tongue tonight. Pennington is going to IR. Really quiet today. Really quiet. About the only drama in the NFL today is whether or not the 49ers will ever get Michael Crabtree signed.
Well,
that must just be driving their head coach nuts.
I don't think so.
Yeah?
No, I think
Mike Singletary just says forget about it?
I know he's saying forget about it. I think he's coaching the guys that are there. I think their football team's playing very hard. Yeah. Their defensive coordinator's guy played with Greg Minuski, a good coach, smart player, and doing a heck of a job as a coach. And they're getting after it. I mean, they're not worried about.
They narrowly lost. They had a chance to go 3-0 in Minnesota.
They had a great shot.
Brett Favre made that
a miracle throw. I mean, how about that throw?
For a 40-year-old quarterback.
I didn't think he had that in him.
I didn't either.
I really didn't.
But I think, just me, he's just as likely to throw three interceptions the next week. I mean, that's kind of where he's been.
Maybe, but I didn't think he had that in him. That was a 40-yard, at least 40-yard rope.
50, because it was from the 40 to the back of the end zone.
Wow. Yeah. That was incredible.
He's a freak.
I mean, you know, in fact, Luke and I were playing Madden the other night.
There's no way you ever win that.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Sure I do.
Your son is what, 13 or 14?
He gets mad because he says, well, you're a coach. That's why you know all the things.
Yeah, but you're a kid. Madden's for kids.
Well, I'm a kid at heart. But anyway, So anyway, I was working him over, and he had Brett Favre. He was playing Adrian Peterson, and I just kept blitzing the box. And he couldn't get to the pass he needed. And so he got mad at Brett Favre, and he's going, "Favre, come on, Favre, you're too old." And he was making comments. And so when he saw the highlight after the game Sunday, he said, "Dad, did you see what Brett did? He was awesome." I said, "Yeah, it wasn't him. It was you. You had the controls."
Right. Life or Madden? You decide. 355-NFL-1. Dave's down the road in St. Augustine. Dave, you're on with the head coach. Good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Coach, it was fantastic to watch you guys march right in there and those guys wearing those ugly red uniforms and just put a hurting on them. You know, they've been asking for that one for a long time, and that was a much-deserved, much-needed, I don't want to say payback, but we'll just take the win how we can get it. You know, it was really nice. I was a little concerned. The couple guys got nicked up. I was really concerned when Terrence Knighton went down. I hope that he's going to be okay. The question that I wanted to ask you, though, it seems like Gene is making weekly moves with the practice squad and with the last couple of players on the team. Do you anticipate him doing that on a weekly basis, or at least until he gets the guys that he wants to stick with and roll with? Best luck this week, Coach. I'll be at the game loud and proud, and let's stay healthy and go Jaguars.
Thank you very much, Dave. That's an excellent call, and I appreciate it very much. And glad to hear that you're going to be at the game supporting us. Thank you. Here's what I know about Gene. He's going to work tirelessly to strengthen this football team at every opportunity, every turn. Okay, and he's not going to miss a trick. And there's nobody working harder at it. He and his staff. Pouring through all the different possibilities, all the different scenarios, staying ahead of the curve, and he's really working at it. So, you know, where we think we can improve ourselves, we're going to make that move, and I'm very supportive of that. I think our guys understand the climate that this is a time to make sure that you're staying sharp and that you're on top of things and that you're improving as a football player. And that you're staying ahead of anybody else that may be an option. And I think, you know, that kind of attitude or that type of approach really it promotes the work ethic that we need to have. It promotes this football team constantly seeking to improve, and that's what we have to have right now. So I think Gene's done a great job of that. And the two players that we brought in this week, we think can help us this year. I mean, we think, you know, the pass rusher in Brian Smith, we're going to give him an opportunity. We're going to give him an opportunity to help us off the edge as a pass rusher, give him an opportunity to learn the base defense, but first and foremost as a sub rusher. And the other kid, Big Peterson, is a big defensive end, defensive tackle, guy that on sub could be a tackle and on base stuff will be a defensive end. And he's a big, strong, athletic guy. And so, you know, I love the way that we're going after it and approaching it, and so I applaud the moves.
Appreciate the phone call, folks. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. And we'll get right back to the Jack Del Rio Show after this quick timeout on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Phone lines are still lit, so let's go right to them. 355-NFL-1, and we've got Ben over on the west side, who is next for the head coach. Ben, good evening.
Good evening, and good evening to you too, Coach.
Thank you, Ben. Good evening.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate you guys on your game Sunday. I watched the Indianapolis game. You did good. You lost, but you did good. And last week, you did wonderful. It was nice to see the Jaguars get up for Houston for once instead of Houston getting up for us. So I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate it. I am a season ticket holder, and I do appreciate it. It's nice to see the team congealing this year, starting to come together and actually produce. And I'll go ahead and get off the line. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the support. And I think you will see this. It was Ben, right?
It was Ben.
I think you will see, as you watch this football team, I think you will see this team come together, because I'm watching the work ethic, the commitment. And I just tell you that when I think anybody out there that has been a part of team sports, that sees a team that works at it every day with drive and commitment and determination, it's, you get better. You just do. It's just the way it works. I mean, the teams that really grind, you want to watch a football team work, pay the price, and you know that football team is going to improve.
Right.
And that's what I'm watching right now, and that's what we're driving, that's what we're pushing, that's what we're selling, and that's what the guys are buying and believing.
I have to point out after Ben's call that we have had two firsts tonight. I've sat in this chair doing a coach's show for 16 falls. First call from London ever. First time we've ever had the verb congealing used on a football show to describe your team. I'd be impressed if you could find a way to use that in a team meeting this week, Coach.
I'll work congealing. On that. You know, our defensive coordinator, Mel Tucker,
yes.
He keeps a dictionary in his desk. And, you know, coaches sometimes will throw around words, you know, and be like, what was that? What did you just say?
Right.
And can you spell that word?
And pulls it
out? Oh, yeah, he'll pull it out. He'll go right to the dictionary. And, you know, every now and then you got to make sure you have clarity. And
it all factual.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, some
so
good
you start
ribbing.
Using $3 words like congealing and ubiquitous, Mel's going to call you on it if you don't know
what you're talking about. He'll just pull out the dictionary and look. And,
nice.
Yeah.
Ben, nice call. Really nice call. We appreciate it. Let's take a break. We will come back after this on the WOKV Jaguars Football Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Hey, our phones have been busy all night long, so let's not hold off. Let's grab Ray, who is over on the west side, with the next call for the head coach. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. I just had a question for the coach. With the exception of Rasheen's two interceptions, it just seems like the DBs is getting picked apart. What are you guys doing to correct that and sort of better prepare those guys for the pass?
Okay, Ray, thanks for the call. Yeah, Rasheen's obviously our best player, and he's off to a good start this season.
He's really good.
Last couple of weeks shadowed the opponent's top receiver and did a real nice job. Did a nice job against Larry Fitzgerald.
Four catches for Fitzgerald.
And did a nice job against Andre Johnson
four
last
catches
week.
For him.
So we're working at it. You know, I think, this is a team game, and I think it goes hand in hand. I spoke to this a little bit earlier about – you know, the need for rush and coverage to go hand in hand. I think when it does, you've seen some really good moments. You know, if you look in the fourth quarter of our three games, we've not given up a point yet. You know, part of that obviously has to do with team defense being good and the rush and the coverage coming together to get off the field. And so that's what we have to do. We just have to do it more consistently. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's getting the rush. It's having the coverage, the ball's in the air. It's making the play. If they do catch it, it's tackling him, eliminating the yards after the catch. And those are all things that we're working on right now and working very hard. I think you point out the Rasheen part. He's obviously our best player. And so if they try him too much, they're going to pay the price for that.
You know, there was a play in the end zone, and Reggie Nelson didn't make the interception. But he got into position to make
yeah,
it and leapt
yes.
high in the air. And, I mean, it looked like he was going to get it.
It's going to be a tough catch, but yes.
It's going to be a great play.
It would have been a great play.
I mean, that's what Reggie Nelson did in college that made him a first-round pick, and it was interesting to see him step into that and be so close to making that kind
yes.
of play in the end zone.
That's right. So that's an opportunity right there. You know, we made one against Indy in the opener with our young buck.
With Derek Cox.
Derek Cox on the right side. They tried to throw a lob on him, a jump ball or a fade, and he intercepted that. He had a chance later in the game to get another one. Sean Considine had another interception opportunity in that game. So there are balls in the air, and we're going to get our hands on them. I think right now defensively, I believe we have six turnovers at this point.
Two
and
in each game.
And we've had two in each game. So that's a good sign. That means you're doing something right. If you're getting turnovers, the quarterback's getting hit before he wants to throw it. Or he's throwing it before he gets hit, and that puts the ball in play, and DBs have to catch those. So we're working on it. I mean, I keep saying that because that's how we're approaching it. We identify areas we need to be better in, and we go to work.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Grab one more call here before we take our final break of the evening, and let's go with Chris down in Keystone Heights. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. Hey, Coach.
Hi, Chris.
How are you guys? Well, I have a question about Jones-Drew and what an exciting game he played on Sunday. It occurred to me that maybe when Jones-Drew was drafted, kind of late in the rounds. His stature or size was maybe not seen as a beneficial quality, but now it seems like his size and stature is as offensive and defensive linemen have gotten bigger and thicker over the years.
Okay, looks like we lost you. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1. That sounded like it was going to be interesting.
Well, let me take a stab at where he was going. I think, he was referring to Maurice's size, which, as I've mentioned before, he's a shorter player, but he's a thick-bodied guy. I mean, this is
muscular,
very muscular, very powerfully built. The question that I fielded the day we drafted Maurice, I'll never forget, it was, so isn't that a little high to take a third down back? And I said, well, you know, we think he can be a back. And there's like, yeah, right, sure. You know, the guy's only 5'7". So, you know, that was a question that was posed. And I think he's answered that. I think when he came in here, the first thing that we all got to see is that this guy will block you.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll go after a linebacker. He'll go after a defensive lineman. So right away, you don't have limitations on when you can play him. If you have a guy that can't pick up the blitz, then you've got to release him all the time. He's very limited in his role, and he's a specialty back. Well, that's not Maurice. Maurice is a football player, and he can play every down in football, including fourth down. He can play 1 through 4, and he's a special player. And I think that's what Maurice has become. He's willed that. All his life he's been told things, and he's never believed them. And he continues to shine. So I'm real proud of him.
We'll take this break. Final segment coming up on Jaguars Radio. Well, Jaguars fans, don't forget you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. That means your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. All part of First Down, Touchdown, Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for all the details. Brian Sexton back up here to wrap the show up on a Tuesday evening. Don't forget Jaguars and Titans coming up Sunday. The game will not be televised here in Jacksonville, which means that the station you are listening to at this very moment is your connection to the Jaguars-Titans game. Jags 1-2, Titans 0-3. Titans still have a very good defense. Not so good against the pass. Giving up a lot of big plays, but very good against the run. They are 18th right now, primarily because they are 29th against the pass. But 60.7 yards per game on the ground, you can look at it either way, that teams don't even bother with the running game because they know they can throw. Or you can look at it as if this is a very good run defense. And on opening night, the Steelers, they all but abandoned the run. So Jaguars should be able to get something down the field, and perhaps it'll all be made possible this week like it was last with a couple of Maurice Jones-Drew runs, which create play action, and that is when David is at his best because he can roll out those bootlegs and he can make some things happen. Jaguars and Titans, Sunday at 1. Thanks for joining us this evening, folks. Have a great night.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.